You know how shitty my college is? The fucking our campus radio station was a classic rock station.
Like
fucking die. Yeah, like campus nice. Radio stations should be playing fucking punk, pop punk, some hip hop I've never heard of, like something like that.
We had so I was the general
Radiohead.
I was the general manager of the radio station at St. John's where I went, and it had no format while I was there. Like, we could not resolve on a format, and there was so much, like, bitter, like, vitriol and hatred amongst
That's
the
weird that
factions.
Something that you were running
I know,
was
had
filled
no,
with hate.
Had,
no,
yeah.
That was filled with hate.
And welcome to Fantastic Neighborhood, episode 63. I'm your host, Fred.
I'm your host, John.
Hey, this is John Anderson. What's going on, Fred?
It feels weird. It's a weird day. We haven't done this in person in a while.
When, it's been, what, 3 weeks? Did we do two Skypers in a row?
No, we did, I think we did a Skype and we did the outdoors episode.
Oh, yeah, so it has been a
We got way too comfortable.
Yeah, you got too comfortable. So what do we do here?
So we got a good show for you guys today. The rundown is that we're going to go through some stuff we played in Consumption Junction. We have a little, we have a lot of hype that we want to talk about. Game Club
I'm looking
this week.
Forward to hype, because I think, I don't know, I think I'm just going to, like, be mean.
Maybe.
Because I saw what you put down, and I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking
about?
We'll
get to that, John.
You're not... Yeah. You're like faking excitement. You're just like my wife.
Pure and every woman you've ever
and
been
every
with.
Woman ever.
Okay, and so Game Club this week was Starseed Pilgrim.
Yay!
And then we've got the outro, so we'll be right back with Consumption Junction.
No, we don't do breaks anymore. Hey, good call, Fred. What have you been playing?
So I pre-ordered Poker Night 2. On Steam, and I talked about it last week. I was playing the first Poker Night, which I actually enjoyed more than I thought I would. Second one came out over the weekend, and it's probably like the best cheap game you can buy. It's super entertaining.
Man, hyperbole. Best cheap game. So it's the best $5 game, period.
Well, let's call it best $5 PC game right
that
now.
That came out last week.
It came out in recent proximity.
It came out on Friday, right?
Thursday or Friday, yeah.
Okay, like so what is it?
So it's a poker game, just like the first Poker Night, where you are playing against Ash Williams from Evil Dead.
But not voiced by
Bruce Campbell. Apparently, there is something he won't put his name on.
Ugh.
He thinks he's
so goddamn big since he's on that terrible show on USA Network.
Oh yeah, the secret agent one, right?
Yeah, Psych. He's on Psych.
Is it Psych? Right,
no, it's not Psych. It would have been funnier if you knew what Psych. He's on Monk.
Are you just naming USA yeah. shows now?
He's on Storage Wars. Yeah, that awesome Bruce Campbell show. Wait, what the fuck was the one he was on that was a spinoff? It wasn't like a spinoff, but it was in the same vein as like Xena. It was like Jack of all trades
yeah.
or something.
Well, he was a side character in Xena and Hercules as well.
Okay, yeah. And then there was something in that. Maybe he was like a pirate on Jack. It was
there was one where he was like a cowboy, wasn't there?
Oh, you're talking about Briscoe County Jr.
Yeah.
I have that complete set on
okay.
DVD.
That was pretty good, I remember.
Yeah, so that was like Western with a sci-fi twist.
Right.
So, yeah. It was dumb. It was really bad. It's impossible to watch now.
He gets around. Anyway, so he's one of the characters, but not Bruce Campbell. Max from Sam and Max, the dog from Sam and Max.
Oh, thank goodness you explained that, because I forgot which was it.
Yeah, Brock Sampson from the Venture Brothers.
Which is a thing that...
And Claptrap. And,
Are there any cameos?
Yeah, so...
Don't tell!
No, and the dealer is GLaDOS.
Yeah.
Which totally brings it all together. She has probably the best dialogue. Her and Claptrap, they actually have, like, a rapport with each other.
So what happened... so it's poker. But you're playing it for the rapport, like the
you're
dialogue?
Basically playing it for the dialogue. You can in this one, unlike the first one, you can get unlocks for other games. In the first one, I think you can get Team Fortress 2 stuff. In this one, you can get TF2 stuff, but you can also get Borderlands 2 stuff. So this is like very heavily a Gearbox, like just like how.
But this is Telltale developed.
It's Telltale. And you can tell because it's super fun but glitchy.
Man, this bourbon is delicious.
Yeah. So it's all about the dialogue. You do play a game of poker, and it's better than it was in the first one. Like, it's a lot harder to tell bluffs and all that. And there's a couple of more mechanics now
How long until you're, like, if dialogue's the main thing, how long are you playing until you get, like, are you hearing repeated dialogue?
Yeah, occasionally, but there's a very long opening sequence, which is totally fun to watch. As a matter of fact, one of the characters in the opening sequence is Doug from The Walking Dead.
Oh, man. I was hoping you were going to say Doug from Doug.
Oh, well, maybe.
Doug Funny.
Maybe that'll be another episode.
Captain Quail or whatever the fuck his name is. Yeah. Quail Man.
Yeah, and so there's this very long intro, which is super great. And then there's, I would say I'm a good 3 hours into the game of just playing the game already. I mean, there's not really any into the game. You're playing the same game from get-go onward. So I'm about 3 hours in, and some of the throwaway dialogue is getting repeated, but it's usually just like people going like, responding to you going all in or something like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
There's still stories that they tell amongst each other, and the conversations they have is highly contingent upon who is actually left and who gets knocked out of the game. And they have Texas Hold'em, and they have Omaha-style poker, which
Omaha
I've never played.
Omaha is pretty similar to Texas Hold'em.
It's like five cards, and you keep two. It's just a bigger hand, basically.
Yeah.
And the new mechanic in the game is that you can actually buy drinks for people while you play. You get, like, imaginary tokens while you play, and you can buy drinks for people, and as they get drunk, their tells become more obvious.
This sounds a lot like the blackjack game I programmed in programming class in QBasic in, like, 98, 97. It didn't have pictures, though.
If your game had pictures and good dialogue.
And those characters didn't exist.
Sam and Max existed.
But I did have that drinking. Oh, that's true. I did have that drinking element in my game.
So it's the game is a lot of fun. It's super worth the cost, especially if you want like some cooler unlocks for Borderlands if you're still playing it.
Is it available on Xbox too?
Xbox and Steam, I believe. Yeah, Xbox, Steam, and PS3. But the unlock structure is different for all those games.
Mm.
Like with PS3, I think you win themes.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. Xbox, I think you get avatar items.
But you can't get the Borderlands unlocks.
I don't know if you can get the Borderlands stuff, and I'm sure you can't get the TF2 stuff.
Man, I still haven't played that Borderlands, any of the Borderlands DLC that I bought.
I played the pirate one, which is pretty good, but I never beat it. Dude, there are other games. Like, I love what they did with Borderlands 2. Like, that game is really rewarding, and there's a lot to it. And, like, the DLC is really robust, but it's too much.
Is it nonsensical that I'm having trouble going back to that simply because of Aliens?
Oh, no, I felt, I actually, I
like,
have a
I'm
bad
like
taste
really,
in my mouth.
Like, I'm like Gearbox. And, you know, and they bought the, man, what the, that 3D space RTS that was THQ.
Oh.
Space game. Yeah, they bought.
Fighting space.
They bought the space game franchise. What the fuck was it?
Home Colony no, World.
Home Run. Colony. No, Colony Wars?
Colony
Wars? No. Runner? Homestar Runner.
Homestar Runner. That was it.
They bought Homestar
Tying
Runner.
Tying it right back to Poker Night 1.
God, that's going to bother me. Okay.
But yeah, I totally think that this game is worth the $5. It's definitely one of those games you'll play for, you know, maybe half an hour, put down, come back a week later because you want something to
do. Is this on iOS? I would rather play this on iOS.
No, I don't think it's on
iOS. You know
iOS.
What I would like to... I would like to play this on iOS and have the unlocks work on PC. Like... Is that unreasonable? That's pretty unreasonable.
You know what? It's not impossible. They just don't do it because of political reasons.
You're political.
You're a reason.
Yeah.
And then, what have you been playing, John? Because that's really like all
I don't know.
I sunk time
What's on my
into.
List?
Mister, I don't want to have printouts.
Oh, dude. Okay, so I've been trying to catch them all.
Oh God.
I'm playing my first Pokemon game.
Pokemon, and you're playing like the one Pokemon that's completely not Pokemon.
Yeah, I'm playing Pokemon Conquest for the DS, the Nintendo Dual Screen System.
And you're playing it on 3DS.
Yeah, which, you know, hey, quick little aside about fucking something that sucks about 3DS. If you're in DS mode, you're not getting street passes.
It disables the Wi-Fi?
Pedometer and shit's not, none of that shit's working. It's in DS mode.
That sucks.
So it's Nintendo. Gosh, God.
Where's the friggin' kids?
Where's the frezen?
So I just got my copy yesterday, but I haven't opened it yet.
Can you start playing it, like, now? Because...
But I haven't beat Fire Emblem.
But I'm, like, losing interest in it already, and I think I need you to... Wait, do you have your DS here?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna have to get a street pass while you're here. But...
Dude, can I tell you, completely related to this, I was actually considering making a blog today of a... Making a blog for a Fire Emblem dating blog. Where it's just the different characters posting about their dates.
Oh, and now you've given the idea away.
I know.
Good for you, Fred.
Well, I'm not going to do it, so because I'm lazy. There might be some other things coming.
Yeah, maybe. No, probably not. Probably like all these hours of video work I've actually recorded. And, like, never going to. Yeah, but so Pokemon Conquest is a Pokemon game, but it's also, was it like Romancing the Three Kingdoms or whatever, like about feudal Japan?
Well, the storyline is Romancing the Three Kingdoms if Pokemon existed.
Yeah.
Basically. But the gameplay, from what I understand, is like it's a tactical strategy game.
Yeah, it is, but it's just after playing Fire Emblem and, you know, we'll even say like XCOM.
Like XCOM, yeah.
It's just not as good.
It's hollow.
God, there's the graphics bother me that they're bad. I guess they're not that bad.
Isn't it like 2D sprites that pretend to be 3D?
Kind of. It's just I thought I was really into it, and then the battles move too slowly for me to, like, I really wish, and which is really saying something coming from Fire Emblem, it's just, like, it's to the point where I have everybody except for my main guys, I have them automated. Like,
oh, yeah.
And I'm like, this is just...
You're watching the gameplay itself.
Well, no, I'm...
It's like war games?
No, you don't even have to. Like, the people I leave in my other cities, like, I can just set them to focus on one area of strengthening, and they don't do shit. Like, they barely tick up. I'm just, you know, leveling up six guys and making them awesome.
Right.
So, I don't know, I thought I was going to be really into it, but I think I might be ready to move on.
It's a weird game to jump into for the Pokemon franchise, because it is, to the Pokemon franchise, sort of what Final Fantasy Tactics is to the Final Fantasy series.
I guess.
Like, it has Pokemon, right? Like, Final Fantasy had the same magic spells and all that, but, like, aside from that, the gameplay is entirely different.
Yeah, well, I don't really care about Pokemon.
Well, you know, we can always get the next true Pokemon game.
Isn't there one out already?
I think it just came out, yeah.
I don't know. Pokemon...
Is it like Black and White 2, I think? They ran out of colors?
Who knows? I'll play that. Is it on 3DS? Is it a 3DS game,
yeah,
or is it a
DS game?
Because, like, Pokemon Conquest came out after 3DS was out and
yeah,
was a DS game.
2012 or 2011?
Yeah. That bothers me.
I don't know. The Pokemon games are not 3DS. Honestly, like, I liked Pokemon when it first came out. Like, I played the first couple. But once it went past 151 Pokemon I was familiar with, it annoyed me.
Oh, these are all, I think, original ones?
Yeah, I like original gen.
And, you know, I was a weird kid and probably watched that cartoon when I was too old for it.
Oh, same here. I would proudly watch that cartoon, dude.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, that thing kind of looks like a Pikachu. I guess it's an unevolved Pikachu or something.
Well, there's
just a
baby
Pichu. It's
yeah.
a Pichu. I'm like, I'll get that one. That's a Meowth. I'll get that one. There's a Charizard. I know what that is. Jigglypuff. I know what that is.
Who is your favorite Pokemon, John? The original.
Psyduck.
All right. Good. I'm all about Psyduck.
Dude, that fucking... You ever see that, like, YouTube video where the guy's like, what you know about Pokemon? Like, it's just like...
But, yeah, no, I always hated after the first generation, because not only did they introduce, like, hundreds
Game
of
Club,
new Pokemon.
Game Club first Pokemon game.
I think I might have a copy. Somewhere.
Do you have a Game Boy?
I don't know. I gotta go look.
Just order one.
Yeah.
They're like $15.
I think we might do that.
Or wait, can you play original Game Boy games on the original DS? I know you can play them on GBA Advance.
I don't know. I think so.
Or GBA, I should say. I don't know.
We have to look into this.
We can do this right here. I have all the devices necessary to test this.
When we take a break.
Let's take a break. No, but anyway, you know, it's kind of like, I'm kind of over it.
I'm glad you emphatically told me to buy it.
Yeah, because I thought I was going to be more into it, but then it was just, like, kind of dumb. I'm going to probably keep playing it anyway. But, like, it's kind of weird that, you know, I'm 7 hours into this, and I'm like, And, you know, 80 hours into Fire Emblem, I was like, thank goodness I finished, so I'll stop playing.
Dude, I'm nowhere near finishing. I'm actually now... in the process of like pairing people off and having them mate so I can get their online and making sure they have the right skills so they transfer.
What's the story? What story mission are you at?
15.
Okay. It's 25 plus one. So there's 26 total.
Yeah.
And then all the paralogues.
And then the DLC if you want to dig down that
hole. No. There's like $30 worth of DLC.
Yeah, I won't spend the money. I got the first DLC because it was free when you got it. And that's...
Well, because you get Marth.
Yeah.
But here's what bothers me. It's not... Okay, so after you finish,
right. You
don't go back into the world.
It just ends. There's no save.
So you have your old save. So like you unlock certain things or whatever, and like a different... You unlock certain things going forward if you start a new game. But one thing that really sucks is, like, I just kind of wanted to hop back into the world kind of after the thing and do all my street passes and challenges right. and shit. Because I leveled, like, a bunch of characters. I leveled a lot on that last fight. I was whooping up on bitches. and, you know, whatever. I might go back. It's on the SD card, so, like, I could go back at any time.
Yeah.
I really love 3DS. I'm really kind of embarrassed about it.
Is it weird that, like, I came to realize the 3DS is filling a hole that was in my life.
That you didn't even realize was there?
Yeah.
That's like meeting your true love, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that there was a Kim-sized hole in my life until I met you, wife.
I didn't realize with handheld gaming, because I've been a big proponent of handheld gaming for a long time, and then I got a phone.
Yeah, remember that bill you took to the Congress where you were like... Lobbying for the PSP. This is stupid. This is stupid hypothetical I'm going at. And I can tell by your eyes that you didn't want to take this journey with me.
I want
to
throw something at you. Is what I
yeah.
do. No, but just being able to play, you know, an hour at a time on the subway or something like that, like, it's really rewarding. And that's particular to us in New York and, you know, a few other metropolitan areas. But...
Yeah, this game this device is really perfect for me and not a lot of other people. Like... I just realized that phone games weren't enough for me.
Yeah, no, they're not.
Physical
controls. I think that's what it is. I miss physical controls.
It's part of it. You have a MOGA, whatever now.
Yeah, but like I don't.
You're just not getting. You're not necessarily getting the same quality of experiences. Like,
the phone being a non-dedicated device makes the gaming poorer in a lot of cases.
Here's like one thing when I've dove into some of these bigger titles. Like, I find that the fucking, like, ancillary stuff, like, well, ancillary, the writing in something like, I don't know, like, a fucking dungeon, you know, various dungeon crawlers I've tried on the phone, just, like, the writing is fucking horrible. Like, they don't,
it's
like,
throwaway.
They don't decide to have a story. And not to say the writing is fantastic in these games I'm playing on DS, right. But, like, there's effort being put into them. And this is just, these games are, like, it simply treats it like... No, it's just this.
There has to be dialogue to move the gameplay along. And
you know, it's
it.
Practically like Final Fantasy 1, right? Where there's not... There wasn't much story. It was just, go here.
Well, there was story, but there was no exposition.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know...
It was like, there is an evil wizard in the cave. You have to kill the wizard to save us.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's sort of what it was, yeah.
Yeah, like, man, Battleheart is a game I played on here. That was, like, it was fun, but it just wasn't... I don't know.
I'm not, like, shitting
they,
on...
They knew it was going to be a $3 game.
Yeah, I'm not shitting on cell phone games at all. I think they have potential, and I love my MOGA, but, like, to me, the MOGA is something I use at home for more intricate games that I can only get on the phone platform. Like Dead Trigger. I love playing Dead Trigger with my MOGA, and I like that game. It's a good game for, you know, half an hour at a time, sitting on my couch while the wife is watching TV or something.
Yeah.
But, I'm not bringing a multi-part thing like the MOGA onto the subway and then displaying. I also have a phobia about having my phone just floating there on the subway. Like, I'm always afraid someone's just going to jack it.
I would be worried about that too, but you have an Android device, so I wouldn't be worried.
Piece of
There's
shit.
No resale, man.
Did you see the new leaking Galaxy, into hype here?
The Galaxy S?
No. Did you see the rumors about iOS 7?
Mm-mm.
They're going completely flat. And they're making it basically look like a Windows phone.
What? I don't know.
So the OS is getting an overhaul?
So I would I, you know, have you tried Google Now?
No.
Yeah, Google Now on which is now on all Android devices and in iOS in the Google search app is like this really smart dashboard, which is fantastic. Like, it you grant access to your entire life, and it will start, like, we saw here that you have something in your Gmail from Amazon about an order you're getting. Like, here's the tracking information. Like,
oh, so it's
a here's your weather.
It's a,
here's
it's
your
a Google Concierge.
Yeah,
sort
here's
of thing.
Your commute. Here's, like, I had to manually enter in my stocks, which, like, kind of felt really disgusting to me.
1%er.
Yeah, right. But anyway, it's pretty cool. But I was also like, what I'm really loving about 3DS is this is where I'm gonna get my weird Japan fix.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm actually looking at titles right now.
So I'm, like, a little torn right now, right? Because remember when I bought that PSP?
Yes.
I still have that. Like, I could go... I kind of want to, like, play a Persona game. So... or maybe just something in Shin Megami Tensei universe. So I'm, like, a little torn. Do I want to go play Persona 2 or Persona 3?
Just, or, like, a slew of Atlas games.
Or do I want to play Shin Megami Tensei, Devil Summoner, Soul Hacker, you know, that one?
I probably still have a copy of Disgaea floating around, or...
they're PSP games. They're free, aren't
Zeta,
they?
Zeta Hero Project, or whatever that game was.
I don't know. Since I think I'm moving on from this, I'm going to read a book next instead of doing my commuting gaming.
Okay.
But here's the other thing that's... Baseball's back. And so,
it is.
So, you know, I will play my 3DS while I watch baseball, because, like, I mean, I love baseball, but let's get real, like, I'm not on the edge of my seat the whole fucking time, you know?
Yeah,
like,
no, it's pretty mellow for a sport.
Yeah, especially with the Mariners. A lot of pitching battles. But besides that, yeah, the other thing I'm playing is sort of portable. Well, sort of portable. It's portable, too. Playing the Injustice iPhone game.
Yeah, so is like, I'm curious about that.
It sucks. I don't like it.
It's obviously it's not the full game. It's a cell phone game with the title and the title alone.
So it looks good. It's an Unreal. It's a card based.
Of
it's card
it
based. So you put a team of three against the enemy's team of three. And it's a fighting game, but it's really simple controls. Basically, it's tap to attack. And then, you know, if you land three successive attacks, it'll tell you to swipe one way, and then you'll land a good
like
sucker
Infinity
punch
Blade
on it.
Or?
Not quite.
Okay.
And then, you know, two fingers to block, and then one other, and then, like, you know, you'll get a super meter, and you'll have to execute the supers. But it requires a shit ton of repetition. Like, if you're not paying cash money to get characters... Like, you have to, it takes you a while to get money. And you play through these series of battles, which will be about against the same, like, three or four fucking characters over and over and over and over.
Right.
And it's just really kind of not, it's kind of tedious.
Well, they want you to do the microtransactions.
Yeah, but it's kind of tedious, so it doesn't, like, really make it, it's not really making me want to buy it. And so then I went into the microtransaction store. They have a package of points that is $100.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say...
This is a mainstream company doing this.
Here's the thing I've been noticing lately, because I've been playing a lot of Hawken recently, and I love the game. I can't really justify... Like, I was actually like, I would throw some money towards a microtrans to support this company.
Well, you should do that. Like, I treat that shit like a tip jar.
I started buying other Hawken-themed product as my way of supporting it. Because right now, I don't feel like the DLC... Or not the DLC, but the microtrans stuff is worth it, because it's all cosmetic. Like, and quite frankly, the options are not robust enough for me to want to throw real cash money at it.
Plus, it's first person.
Well, that too.
So it's other people seeing your money?
That's my point. I'm not going to buy taunts. And I want to play the game and earn my level up, so I'm not going to buy.
Man, that should be our fucking, that should be a game called Game is Blood in the Sand, 50 Cent Blood in the Sand?
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Oh, we should do that.
I'm not opposed.
Okay.
But yeah, so, even Hawken, like, I think, like, the minimum level is like $20. Microtransactions have become incredibly expensive.
Microtransactions are now transactions.
Macro transactions.
They are just transactions.
Facebook Marvel game that I play, the cheapest transaction is $5 for 20 gold.
Mm-hmm.
20 gold is not enough to buy the items that they sell in the store, like the limited time items that they sell, are 64 gold. So any item you want to buy is $16 or so.
Ick. Right. It's like, so icky. It's so gross. Like, I don't want to play these games because I feel like really, like,
I've paid for games before, subscription-based games.
Well, no, I've paid in microtransactions, but a lot of these games are just making me feel gross about it. Like,
yeah,
it's like, I don't know.
It's like a gambling addiction. It makes you feel like something you have a problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I paid a couple bucks in the Dragon Age one because I was chasing the unlocks.
Right.
I feel like there's something else I've paid. Oh, Diablo, I might have bought something.
Maybe.
You know what? If I went in there, I still probably have the $10 I put in there.
Wouldn't surprise me.
But yeah, I never beat Diablo.
No, I know. And you're never going to.
Let's open up Diablo.
Now while we're recording.
I wonder if the Mac versions become more stable.
Probably not. But yeah, I don't know. Microtrans, I'm not opposed to them, but they need to get the price points are
way out of
whack. I don't
know. This game's just not, it's not that fun.
Which is another problem. It's grindy, right?
Yeah. I can really see this, like a kid really liking this. I don't know. The play mechanism isn't that fun. I just find it's like tap, 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 swipe, tap, 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 swipe, tap, 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 swipe, switch to cat woman. And the characters I start. Exactly.
Oh my God. That's going to be a promo for the show.
Yeah. So, and like the characters you start out with is Cyborg, Lex Luthor, and fucking Deathstroke. And Deathstroke's kind of a badass, but like, yo. Cyborg, fuck that guy. Like
he's like a main character in DC right now.
Ugh. I don't like Cyborg. I don't like Lex playing as Lex Luthor. Like Batman and Superman cost like $20.
A jillion dollars, yes.
And then I thought about it, I'm like, man, I don't really like a lot of DC characters. I'm like if this was a Marvel game, I might be like completely enamored by it because I don't know. There's like, you know, I have like those fucking weird. There's so many weird things in Marvel that I love, like Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, everyone.
You know,
loves
and you
Girl.
Guys know. Well, you guys being you, Fred, in this room, like you know how like my thing about She-Hulk, right? Like I'm really into She-Hulk, like not in a weird way.
Well, she's well written.
She was for a really good run there.
The Dan Slott ones or whatever it is.
Yeah. Like the ones where it was like a courtroom drama. Yeah. I'm like, this is brilliant. This character has such potential. I love She-Hulk. And what are the ones, I have the first three huge trades for it.
Runaways?
Runaways. Yeah, I love the Runaways. Like, and I still have an affinity for even some of the, I don't really care for Thor or Iron Man or those, but
I never liked the big characters.
Yeah. I mean, Spider-Woman, I fucking love Spider-Woman.
Yeah, she had a great story arc.
Yo, Luke Cage, dude.
Iron Fist was the best Marvel storyline in, like, the last 10 years.
People are telling me great things about these Hawkeye books.
Oh, I just got a new Hawkeye book that's amazing.
The trade?
The My Life as a Weapon.
Because this is, like, it has over a year behind it already, right? Like,
I don't know. I arbitrarily picked it up in a comic
shop. This guy I follow on Tumblr is always posting about it.
It's really good.
I wanted to check that out.
But here's the thing with DC. Their characters are typically older than Marvel, like, because a lot of the comics they inherited from other comic companies. Like the whole Captain Marvel
thing. I'm aware of the background of it.
But, like, a lot of, like, the characters are so interconnected and their storylines are, like, so entwined that, like, you kind of, like, if you don't know one character, you kind of don't know a lot of them.
Well,
and like the whole thing with like there being like
thank you for joining us for comic talk. Continue.
But there's like 80 Green Lanterns, and there's like and some of them have the same exact name, but they're not the same.
This it's weird because the DC movies, the animated ones that they've been putting out are good.
Yeah,
like I like them. Like what's the one about the Silver Age-y, New Frontier?
New Frontier.
God,
amazing,
that's
brilliant.
The book is amazing, too.
Yeah. And, you know, but, like, just jumping into DC is really daunting, I think. Like, when I got into DC, I was like, okay, so there's the Alan Scott Green Lantern, but then there's the Hal Jordan Green Lantern, and they have the same name, but they have different powers, and then there's, like, 13 different Flashes.
I think, I was really into Impulse.
Yeah.
I think Mark Waid, like, Humberto Ramos run of Impulse is fucking brilliant. Like, I've – oh, man. I was like 13, so
right.
But I thought the way they handled storytelling almost entirely visually. I mean, there's an issue of that book that doesn't have words in it. You know, I thought that was really bright. And then he ended up Humberto Ramos. I was like really into his art, and then he ended up going to like Top Cow and doing like a Gen 13 spinoff. Oh, and I was like, this is fucking, this is gross.
He went to the Rob Liefeld School of Design.
No, I mean, it was still, the art was still good, but it was like, or it's weird, but just the writing, like, it, I realized, like, then that, like, I can do with bad art and good writing, but, like, good art with bad writing is still fucking bad writing.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I can't look at comics that look...
Because, like, I mean, think about The Boys. Like, the art is fucking garbage.
Yeah, no, the art's pretty bad. There are a lot of books that I read where the art is stylistically not something I'd like, but the storytelling is really good. But then there's some books that I just, like, I can't look at. Like, some of the... Even some of the Golden Age stuff where it's, like... Very flat, very two-dimensional comics. I'm just like, I can't. It's too... Ugh.
Yeah, I agree. But anyway.
We should go take a break and test out that Pokemon theory.
Yeah, let's do that.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back.
We're back.
Hey, we talked about all the stuff we did, some of the stuff we're excited for. Let's talk about the rest of the stuff we're excited for.
The hype something or other.
We don't even do that anymore.
We don't even do that. So, John.
Rapid fire.
Grand Theft Auto 5 trailer. Go.
Did you see them?
No.
There's three of them. Well, there's three new ones. Because there's going to be three playable characters in the game. And it follows each one trailer for each we'll say protagonist, even though we know they're not, you know, good guys. Man, this
anti-protagonist.
Anti-heroes.
Anti-tagonist?
Damn it, dude. This fucking thing looks great.
Yeah?
I'm sure it's gonna be a Grand Theft Auto game and that there's gonna be a huge amount of, like, ludonarrative dissonance or whatever.
look at you throwing around a $5 word.
Oh, look at me throwing around words and books that I read. We read the same goddamn book.
I know.
I've gone to, like, the same fucking lectures about it. But that being said, it looks fucking phenomenal. I'm wondering if this is split gen.
Wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise me at all.
Because I don't want to play this on 360. I want to play this on Durango.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Sure. Roll right along, Sporto.
Okay, so I didn't have this on the list. John, Pacific Rim trailer.
That's not new.
The new one that just came out.
I don't know. I saw a 3D IMAX trailer ahead of Jurassic Park a few weeks ago.
Right.
And that was bananas. I haven't seen the new one.
Did it have Charlie in it? So one of
Charlie from Always Sunny
is one of the main characters in the movie.
I can't deal with that. Fuck this movie.
He's a scientist or something like that.
Cat too loud?
Yeah.
Kitten madness.
It looks like a really good, fun, dumb, giant monster movie.
Yeah, no, it does look cool.
Yeah. I'm going to have fun with it.
I'm in.
All right, cool.
Are we really doing rapid fire?
We are doing rapid fire. John, I have a question for you. Dead Island Riptide came out. Should I play this?
I don't even know why. Why would you even ask that?
I don't know. I wanted to play the first Dead Island because the goddamn ads were so good.
Why don't you play the first one then?
Because I heard they were really bad.
The first one's supposed to be better than this one.
Is it? All right, well, that answers my question.
Here's what I don't get about this. You don't like open world games, right?
No, not really.
Okay, why would you want to play this open world game?
I feel like it has more... to it. I don't know.
And
you've answered my question.
But you know all the nuance of the story, like, turned out that was in that trailer, like, turned out to be completely false.
Yes.
God, that trailer's amazing, though.
The trailer.
So good. So good.
In the pantheon of video game advertisement, that sits atop a very mighty throne.
It's up there, like, with the fucking Gears ad.
Gears ad, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
So, other...
Don't you own it on PC?
No.
Are you serious? Like, I probably have, like, three codes for it right now. Like, I wish I could gift you the copy that's in my Steam library. I probably picked it up for like $2.
I might try it.
Just play the first one. It's $5. It's supposed to be better than this.
All right, I'll give it
it's probably
a whirl.
On Green Man for like $10 now.
I will give it a whirl. Other new releases coming out. Metro.
Nah.
Passing?
Pass.
Okay. Remember Me.
When's that?
Next month.
Okay, I'm in.
I'm in. I think that's going to be a big one for us.
Yeah. I'm really excited for that.
I'm super excited for that. Iron Man 3.
Dude, you put that on that list. I'm like, what is he talking about? Apparently that comes out this week.
This Friday. So that's what I was saying. I have read. First of all, I'm not noticing much of a buzz about it. I feel like it's just coming and no one cares at this point. But I've read several reviews right now that say it's the best three of a superhero movie ever made. Like, it's the best third movie.
Let's see. Batman Forever. Superman 3. Are we counting the new Batman as a completely different series?
Yeah. So Dark Knight Returns or whatever.
You think of any other thirds?
Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. So, like...
X-Men 3.
Oh, man. Amongst bad movies.
Amongst terrible movies, it's up there.
Compared to some of the worst... superhero movies of all time. This one is good.
Yeah, it's not a very high bar, is it?
Can you think of any other threes? I can't.
Well, no, there wasn't three Hulk movies. There was, we said X-Men.
Yeah, no, we're done. Done.
I mean, there was a bunch of Crow movies that went direct to video, but
yeah. Well, I don't count that. The third one was obviously horrible, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. The second one had Edward Furlough.
No. He's much later. He's like the sixth one, dude. The second one takes place in Los Angeles and got a theatrical release.
Yeah, it did.
I saw the second one in the theater.
Yeah, I've never seen
it. I just sneak into that shit. Dude, do you think The Crow holds up?
The first one?
Yeah.
Do you think we could
watch it? When was the last time you saw it?
2 years ago.
No. No.
It was on TV. I watched it with the wife because she had never seen it.
Oh.
It has its moments where you're just like, oh, come on, 90s. But,
The 90s showed up and came on my face.
It aged better than a lot of superhero movies at the time.
I don't think that counts as a superhero movie.
It's practically
a revenge story more than anything,
sure.
Right? I don't know. I find it really satisfying.
The fight scenes totally hold up. Like the fighting, it's the parts with the little girl where she's trying to be hip and cool with her skateboard. You know, like that sort of.
Man, I've been following this like 90s Tumblr that's really got me like thinking like, oh shit, I probably have a Windows 2000 fucking hat somewhere.
Windows Millennial or whatever that one was. Oh god. For every good. Five good releases of Microsoft Windows. There's like one that just shits the bed.
Yeah.
I
kind of want to go back and watch The Crow now. You know, that fucking, that Stone Temple Pilots song that plays in the car is like, time to take a roll.
That and like the Nine Inch Nails stuff.
I don't know. Like, honestly, I'm not even like a huge fan of like the music.
That movie
kind
is
of music.
So the epitome of the 90s, though.
Yeah.
Like that and maybe like, what's Empire Records?
Oh, yeah. That STP song, though, is like my favorite STP song.
Yeah, I think it's everyone's favorite, probably.
I don't know. Probably somebody... out there. Actually, I can't even name a bunch of CP
songs. Since we're talking about 90s things...
Did I tell you about the time Scott Whelan like, shot me up on heroin?
And then you kicked him out of the band?
Yeah.
So speaking of Microsoft, so the new rumor...
If you say Infinity, I'm kicking you out of my house.
That is, in fact,
no,
the new
it's,
rumor.
No. That's,
you don't believe it?
A, that's not it. And the thing you put in the show notes made me want to stab you with a knife.
What did they pull on? Let me pull up the show notes here.
You put, like, are they basing this name on Bioshock Infinite? you just basically wrote a title of a terrible N4G post. Like,
well, actually, what I was questioning is,
I'll knife you.
Is Infinite the next naming meme with video games?
I don't think so.
No.
And I don't think one has to do with the other. And I think if you played Bioshock, like,
I think we need to do a What's Hiding in Fred's Closet pretty soon.
You should just play Bioshock. You should play it. Don't play it on hard like I did. That was a big mistake.
Right. Well, there's a... Now that I've beat Gears, I have a list of games that I need to probably dive
You just
into.
Need to decide.
I have Max Payne 3.
No.
Halo 4.
No, I kind of want to do the Infinity, the
spoiler cast.
No, the Infinity stuff with you. The Infinity is the name of the ship. Destiny. I want to do the fucking Spartan Ops stuff with you, but continue.
But that's my point, like Infinity stuff. Anyway, so Halo 3, BioShock Infinite, Max Payne. I think I got a copy of Crysis 3 for like $20.
Why?
I don't know.
Dude, you're turning into me.
Yeah, I know. But I need a new game to occupy the drive on my Xbox. I've finished the game, so now I can take the disc out and put a new one in.
Which one do you want to play?
How long was Halo?
6 hours.
I kind of want to just go through story mode of Halo.
When was the last Halo you played?
One.
You're not gonna. The story's gonna be nonsense to you.
The story in the first one was nonsense to me.
It's.
Is there like a crib notes I can read before I go
sure,
into it?
There's a. Sure, there's the Halo the wiki I read pretty regularly because I'm like, oh man, what was the history of the Spartan program?
Can I tell you?
You know, there's like 50 novels.
Yeah. I know. Dead Space 3. One of the things they did on that, and in Gears they did it too. They have a. Like a video you can watch. It's like last time on blah blah blah.
Yeah, no.
Catches you up with the entire series. It was awesome.
Yeah, no. No. Dude, I've played every fucking Halo game and I had no fucking clue who half these people were. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck is this thing?
It's just the assumption that you know them. Like,
it's really pretty. If you haven't played Tomb Raider yet either.
No, like, I haven't. That's another one on the list.
Between Tomb Raider and Halo, it's like, holy fuck, Xbox. Like, you fucking pulled some black magic here, motherfucker, because it is just, like, Halo 4 is incredibly gorgeous.
That is how you know that the console is that it's in its last year. Because even every system, at the end of their life...
God of War 2.
Something comes out, and you go, how come every game before this didn't look like that? Dude, and this is going to sound really weird. Kingdom Hearts on the Nintendo DS.
Or the...
Advanced, oh, no, not even the Game Boy DS, Advance the Game Boy Advance one. Had, like, cinemas in 3D, and it was incredible. And it was just a regular cartridge. And
GBA?
Yeah, yeah.
GBA, yeah.
And you're looking at it going like, why wasn't every game I ever played on GBA this?
Yeah, black magic. No, but seriously, Halo 4, play that. You know, if you got the card to support it, I would almost, you know, play Tomb Raider on PC. But you probably don't have the card.
I don't know. I haven't really done my research. My card's okay. It's not great.
Yeah. You know, this is going to sound weird, but Tomb Raider is a better game than Bioshock.
That does.
Doesn't that sound really weird?
That's, you know, I don't. From someone else, I'd be like, okay, but from you, that's a little surprising.
It's just, it's a more fun experience.
Okay.
Not that fun is, it's well, like it. The experience, the being in the experience is more enjoyable and more motivating than it is in BioShock.
I was gonna say, like, I think Halo 4. Like, if I put the story aside, it's just gonna be a fun. Shooter.
Yeah, no, if you're looking for like a fun shooter, like I would go for that.
And I think I can get through it pretty quick and
yeah,
move on.
I was like, you know, if you're looking for a palate cleanser, I mean, I would almost go into Tomb Raider because there is a lot of that traversal shit and you haven't played any of the Uncharted games.
Right.
So I think like going into that, like I think you really might dig it. But hey, you know, whatever.
Oh, I liked Enslaved enough. I feel like it's the same sort of platforming, right?
Yo, actually, that's not a bad analogy. There are some weird stuff. You know, there's some
stuff. It's like Enslaved, but with horrible deaths and rapey undertones.
It's not that rapey. And there's some stuff that, you know, the voice acting that isn't Lara.
Lara.
Lara. And some of Lara is bad. And BioShock is so much better, like, that aspect. But there's so much fucking story in BioShock. It's like Kojima showed up at Insomniac or whatever. Not Insomniac. Whatever. You know, Ken Levine. Swoon.
Sure.
it's like he called Kojima. He's like, hey, man, I need some help with this, putting this story together.
And then Kojima was like, first of all, how many characters do you have? Okay, triple it.
Yeah, like, like, what do you do? What are your thoughts on nanobots?
Does the vendor in the game have a backstory? Make one.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially. Anyway, we were going to talk about next generation stuff.
Well, I'm just, you know, since we're in our hype section, the big Microsoft gaming unveiling that may or may not be Xbox.
Next fucking console too.
But yeah, so I don't know what we think about this how is it going to stack up to the PlayStation 1?
I think it's going to
blow it out of the water.
Yeah, I think thinking back on PlayStation 4, like, it was kind of exciting just to get a peek of the next gen, but
just to have something, because we haven't had one for
so long.
But
then, like, the more I thought about it, I'm like, a fucking share button? Like, what? Are you serious now?
Oh, the let someone else play my
game
for
me? No, there's a share button on the fucking controller. Yeah, yeah. And then they showed Killzone. Like, look at all the fucks I give. You can count it on no hands.
I think we might have to do a Bang Mary Kill again. For
yeah, I don't know. I'm like,
or just we should do an anticipation cast.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff sneaking, you know, leaking out, and I don't know how much of it's true, but I'm pretty fucking excited. I don't know. I think this is when we're gonna. I think this is really like when the cards are gonna be out there. People got like kind of up in arms about this always on thing. I know for a fact that Microsoft is not gonna freeze out. I'm sorry, I don't know for a fact, but I think it's incredibly unlikely that Microsoft is going to freeze out that segment of the population.
Yeah, I do too.
Here's another thing. You know, a lot of people out there kind of complain, you know, the big people that are super into PlayStation, like, well, it doesn't cost $50 a year to play games online. Yo, if you don't think that...
I mean, PlayStation Plus is like a mandatory now, right?
No, it isn't, but if you don't think it's going to be... Like, you're crazy.
Well, I've also heard that it's entirely just worth the effort to get it.
It's worth it because you get all these free old games, right?
Yeah.
But, like, nobody's going to go play those old games. They need... And their market penetration isn't really there yet. But if you look at, like... If you think about it and you figure out that... That Microsoft has something like 30 million paid gold subscriptions...
Yeah.
Billions.
Yeah, billions. Just billions. With subscriptions.
If you think Sony's not looking at that money and going, I want that money. I need that money.
I need some monies.
Then you're out of your fucking mind.
It's true.
And they're not, it's...
I'm... Honest to God, dude, like, I already sort of, like, I think I'm throwing my hat into the Xbox arena already, and I don't even know anything about it. Because the PS4 didn't really do anything for me, so unless Microsoft comes out with this with the Xbox announcement and shits the bed, I think I'm already behind it.
Dude, the only thing that gets me a little bit worried about is this whole thing, this like kind of rumors around the indie community that Microsoft are really not dealing with the indies at all,
which is weird because they were sort of like the first major console to deal with them.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just we've seen hubris, right? We've seen it a lot.
Yeah.
In console makers. We saw it with, you know, SNES into N64, right? And then they even had a rough go of it with GameCube. But then, you know, Wii is this huge hit, and then Wii U is a turd, right?
Yeah. Oh,
Sony, so sad. With PS1 and PS2 going into PS3, like, there was a certain amount of hubris, right? Like, is it possible that Microsoft is just so... up their own ass that they're, you know, really just going to blow it the next time.
You see, the thing
they're going,
like,
to go up on stage and they're going to be $700.
But they don't just have to blow it. They have to blow it in a big way, because Wii U obviously is not even in the same ballpark. It's just competing with the PS4.
Dude, it's got a 3-core power PC. I'm sorry, I can't even say power PC without fucking cracking up.
It's competing only with the PS4, and I did not get blown away by the PS4 at all.
I was excited. I still am. I don't know. I feel like Microsoft's going to do something. They're going to have real...
I got to see the games. That's the thing I'm waiting for. You know what?
Well, see, that's the cool thing, is they've already said May 21st is when you'll see the first peak of the next generation. June 10th, come see the games.
Yeah, at E3, right?
Their E3 briefing.
Hey, isn't Nintendo not at E3?
They're not. Wow.
Is this the first year?
They're doing, like,
smaller, like, localized
basically
events.
They're doing Nintendo Directs.
Grassroots like, Nintendo.
Which really kind of... God, man.
How the mighty have fallen.
Dude, Wii U's now, you can get them for, like, $100 less than retail on eBay. Yeah. Like, the like slightly used ones.
People are moving them. And then the sales numbers came out. What was the anticipated number? Was it 8 million or something like that?
Originally, and then they adjusted that to, like, 5, and then they've sold through, like, 3.91 or something.
I thought it was only, like, 800,000 or something like that. Like, it's...
They've sold almost 4 million.
All right. It's still way under their projections, and it's probably not even enough penetration yet. And the games are still not coming.
Oh, man, there's something I played. I played something on my Wii U.
Did you really?
So to sort of appease the angry Wii U customers, Ubisoft released a preview version of the new Rayman game for free.
So a demo.
Yeah, it's good. Oh, man, it's good. Oh, is it so pretty.
Rayman platformer?
Like, yeah. It's so pretty. It's so French.
It does not surprise me that it's good, then.
It's so French. It's so French.
Oh, God.
It's so French.
You fight an anthropomorphic piece of cheese.
Yeah, it's so French.
This is the Rayman.
This game, you know, it's just a journey. But I don't even know what fucking accent I'm doing. I know we have, like, French-Canadian listeners, and I apologize. I really feel bad about what I just did.
Not for the accent, but for all the Canada bashing we do here.
Yeah.
All right, John. I think we talked about this enough. Let's put some music here and come back with Game Club.
Your music. We gotta talk about the one we just played, Fred says.
That'd be a good title for a game or an horror movie.
And with that, welcome back to A Fantastic Neighborhood. We are here with the Game Club. Game Club?
Game Club? That's my favorite club of all.
Nah, the club. The plubs are so good here. Oh, man, they just fill my mouth with the plubs.
Brooklyn plubs have a certain, there's an, like, organic feel to them. And
yeah, that effervescentness to the plubs when you show.
Or, effervescence.
Evanescence. Dude, there's like this evanescence feel to them, so you want to kill them on sight.
So what is Game Club? Game Club is a segment of the show where we play through a game and we spoil it and we talk about what the game was trying to accomplish and what the game was about in somewhat intellectual fashion, similar to what a book club is, but for video games.
It's like a book club for games.
Meh. So this week we played Starseed Pilgrim.
We did, Fred. And what is Starseed Pilgrim? No, that's like an honest question.
So, guys, spoiler warning. Starseed Pilgrim is, I think the onus to make this game was actually like, so many games have become so, like, the first 2 hours of any given major AAA title, it tends to be like, the training.
Yeah.
Of the game. Like, not only do you have instruction manuals with a lot of games still, you have now, just tutorial levels that take you through the entire game. And games have been very hand-holdy for a while now. And this is the exact opposite of that. I feel like this is almost a direct response to that.
Yeah, you get told pretty quickly what to do with up, down, left, right, what H can do, and what space can do.
Yeah. And then that you get the controls pretty much right away, but then once you're
It doesn't explain the systems. I mean, you're essentially a...
Part of the game is figuring out the game, I think.
Yeah. You're a gardener who can plant seeds, and things will happen when you plant the seeds. And then you need to get to goals, but it's not really clear...
What the goals are, or where you have to go.
Yeah. Dude... I
didn't get that far.
I didn't get very far.
So you get a series of seeds.
Yeah, I feel like this is... I wish I played Fez when it came out. Like, that's all I could think is, like, I wish I played Fez when it first came out.
I think Fez might have more explanation, though.
Oh, yeah.
But you get seeds, and these seeds grow blocks in different forms. And you're sort of fighting this, like, creeping corruption. Or you're sort of being – it's this corruption is forever sort of following you around the game. And there's – it's like a big empty white field. And there's as you plant seeds, you can use them to build platforms effectively.
I think that we're struggling to explain it so much, kind of like
explains exactly what this game is. Yeah. But yeah, you the different seeds and the different color seeds grow in different ways. And you sort of trial and error to find out how to utilize them correctly.
And there's also a certain randomness to every time you plant a seed, which is incredibly frustrating, but also kind of fits with this. There is a little bit of copy, and it's kind of bleak and vague and oh so very fucking indie.
Braid storyline.
Oh, yeah. It's Braid and Fez and without any explanation of controls. Man, I don't know, like, much more what I can say. Like, this is kind of...
It is a challenging sort of mental puzzle, because you have to plan a couple of steps ahead, but you don't always know what you're going to get a couple of steps ahead.
Yeah.
You're racing against a clock, or, you know, once you hit the timer, you basically have to start over. And what happens is you're building platforms to go up and up and side and side and all that, but eventually you have to hit, like, the corruption or the blackness, I guess. And when you do...
You're not in the world outside the world. You're in the world inside the things that we're building.
Right. And you can get trapped in it.
Dude, I just realized how non-fucking-sensical this sounds. Yeah, you just get trapped in it, and then you hold H to
restart the level.
To fade to white or whatever. And then if you hit H again, you can go to, like, the quit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something, this game.
It is sure indie.
I don't know that we...
I like it. I really, like... I wish it maybe was, like... I want to say just, like, 6% easier.
It's a good percentage. I like that number.
Just, like, slightly easier. Because then I would have explored more. When I started figuring out the systems, and then I was still... Sorry.
The game made you sleepy?
No. And then I was still frustrated. Like, even after... I don't say, like, I had them totally figured out, but I was like, well, I know this seed does this. I can tell which seed's coming next. I still was kind of frustrated because my inability to sort of, like...
I hit, in this game, what I would like to refer to as the Legend of Zelda wall. And it's a thing that happens to me every time I play any sort of puzzle game comparable to Legend of Zelda. I get to a point where I cannot figure out one thing. And I don't like to use game guides for these type of games, but in every, like, Zelda game I've ever played, there's always one puzzle where I'm just like, what the fuck do I do? What do I do? In the first Zelda, you remember that forest where you had to basically call the Nintendo Power Helpline to get through?
I was really lucky because I lived in Washington State right then. It was a local... Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's like the up, left, down, left, or what. There's no, like, it's trial and error to figure it out. There's no clues in the game. So that puzzle, like, got me, and I stopped playing the game the first time. And I remember Landstalker, which was, like, a Zelda-style game.
Landstalker, Ladystalker.
There were some other ones, too.
There's the one on Saturn.
I only ever played Landstalker. I love
it. On Genesis.
Genesis, yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite games ever. But there was, like, some item in the game that, like, it was a bell, and I couldn't, for the life of me, I went over, like, every pixel on that, like, you'd hear the bell ring, and it means something, but I literally went over every pixel, did every button combination I could think of, I could never figure it out. And the level...
What did it end up being?
I don't know, I never found out.
Really?
Yeah, that's the one thing in video games I never went back to. I could probably look it up right now. But that, that part of the game, like, frustrated me so much, and that's how I felt in this game, after I played through it for, like, 2 hours, and then the last run I did, I had a very successful run. I was building all these structures. I was going higher and higher, and then I just ran out of fucking seeds, and I'm like, what the fuck do I do?
Did you dig more? Did you dig hearts?
Yeah, but I couldn't get to the hearts and then get back up before the corruption got me, and then, or whatever we're calling it, and then that was that.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't even figure out what the goal was on the level. It's tough. It's a tough game. For someone who's really into, like, very cryptic puzzle solving, this might be right up your alley.
Yeah.
I think the average gamer might get a little frustrated with this.
I think this is not for the average gamer. No. I think this is for your wanting something new on the indie scene and or you're the masochistic puzzle gamer.
Now, with all that being said, it is a very smart concept, even if it's not for everyone. And, you know, it's pretty well executed. The developing team, it was built in Flash, which means it won't be on iOS anytime soon.
Well, I don't know. I feel like those other games like end up being just like these little Flash packages, but this one came out. I don't know. Whatever. Is this Flash?
Yeah, I think so. My download had a Swift in it.
Okay.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's an indie game that was built with relatively common tools, so, you know, it can be played on multiple consoles.
There's a way to port Flash stuff over pretty easily, too.
Yeah. It's a fun little thing to challenge yourself with, I guess, but, like, if you're looking for, like, a game with a story...
I don't know. If you're looking for a real, like, a vague... Fuck, why do I keep yawning? I feel really bad about that.
I'm saying it's cryptic. It's for someone who likes cryptic, you know, someone who likes solving mysteries.
Remember The Room? The Room was a fun game we played.
Yeah, Room was great.
There's more Room stuff coming out.
I'm excited. But yeah, so that's Starseed Pilgrim. Give it a whirl if you're up for it. I respect what these guys have done. I don't think I'm going back to it.
Give them the monies.
Give them the money so they can come up with some more. They can further refine their concepts and make better stuff.
You know, and this, I think it might be on Greenlight. It's at least worth
it. It's on Steam. You can get it on Steam or you can get it through their website. Yeah.
Oh, I bought it through the site.
I did too. It's on Steam for like $6 or something like that.
Okay. So what are we playing next week, Fred?
What the hell did we just agree to? We just talked about this.
Cave Story. Man, let's play something else.
What do we want to play, John?
I don't know.
All right, we'll be right back and we'll figure this out. And we are back with the outro, and we have a huge announcement.
We've decided on a Game Club game.
And this is going to be an epic 3-week Game Club game. It's something I think we've put off for far too long.
The Game Club of May. Of the first several weeks of May.
Possibly of the century.
What? Of the first 3 weeks of the century? What the fuck does that even mean?
No, I meant the Game Club of the century, John.
I think this is the Game Club of forever.
I think this is the one you've been waiting for as an audience, have been waiting for us to play. Our Game Club is...
Wait for it.
Duke. Nukem.
Yes, we're going to play it over 3 weeks, 24 chapters, eight is what we're – is just how we're going to roll.
We're aiming eight a week. And
Fred's going to play it on PC. I'm going to play it on Xbox. Jesus Christ.
Boy, dude. I hope my graphic card is up for it.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
This is – you know, this is a piece of gaming history that we need to partake in.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like it's probably not going to be as bad as everybody says.
I don't think it's going to be either. I think it's going to be bad. I just don't think it's going to be as bad.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun little game to romp through, though.
Romp. Just romp.
Romping. Shit. That's what we're going to be doing. So, with that, thanks for listening, guys. We don't have a community segment this week because we're lazy.
Yeah, so shout out to our friends, Perpetual Geek Machine, Cross Border Gaming. You can follow Fred on Twitter, at ProtoAddict. You can follow John on Twitter at Hey John Anderson.
You can follow the show at Fantastic Hood.
And you can find us on Facebook at Fantastic...
Facebook.com/Fantastic Neighborhood.
Whatever, dude.
You can also email us at letters@FantasticNeighborhood.com or call us on the hotline at 720-Hoodie6. That's 720-466-3436.
And if you want to, like, email us and, like, not have Fred know about it, you can just hit up John at fantasticgamer.com.
Such a piece of shit.
Like, just on the low. Just like, on the DL. No one else has that. Shoot me an email. I have a good voice. I like listening to my own voice. I have the worst voice. I hate my voice. I'm bipolar.
I think that's a show, John.
Duke Nukem Forever!
Own morning show, but yeah,
Josh and Cunt in the morning.
Scooter and the Geese.
Scooter and the Gooch. Jimbo and the Dick Swaddle.
Yeah, you're listening to Jack and the Mind Layer. Is this our intro? Is this what we're doing?
Whenever you can fucking muster it up and not sound like a clown, you can introduce the podcast.
So,
this hackers claim to have developed the Wii U mod chip, and of course the fucking image they use is from Hackers where they're rollerblading. God, I want to watch that movie right
with
now
with their Fakerosoft OS.
Fakerosoft. Oh my god, the interface that was the best thing about Jurassic Park.
Oh, the computer interface. It's a Unix machine.
It's a Unix system. I can do this, yeah. Or I know this, or
I
something
know
like this.
And it's just like this 3D node thing.
Yeah, like it was like straight up. That's what Will Gallego sees in his everyday life.
I know. Do you know today was like the email that was going around today was the birthday of the internet. I think it was like 20 or 30 years ago the internet went public.
The internet's been public for quite some time. No, are they like talking about that web that first web page?
Yeah, like the www that, protocol.
Yeah. Okay. I'll buy that. I was on the internet before there was pictures, son.
No, I know. I mean, there was computer to computer communication before that. But
no, there is an internet. No, there's Usenet, and then there's like I was going to internet pages that were a series of numbers that I had to get from my bulletin board. God, this sucks as a cold open.